All right, let's get it started tonight. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to Jay's Talk live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Give me a call, why don't you? 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text me as well, 590-590, name and location, the People's Text Line, as you know, is always open. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. The Blue Jays grabbing a 4-2 win to open their 6-game road trip, the first three of which are in Anaheim as the Blue Jays take on the Angels. And tonight, a win to start us off. It's kind of hard not to talk about the night of firsts we witnessed tonight. Will Wagner, Leo Jimenez, Bowden Francis. Let's talk about the hitting, actually. We'll get to Bowden Francis in a second. And boy, do we ever need to talk about Bowden Francis, because he was phenomenal tonight. But I did want to start with Will Wagner and Leo Jimenez. Wagner with his first career MLB hit on his first career MLB swing, a very pretty swing, by the way, for the sharp double. He would also add the first career MLB RBI to Cash Horowitz. And then Leo Jimenez blasts his first career major league run, a home run off of Davis Daniel just a couple minutes later, a two-run jack. And hey, don't look now, but Jimenez is only 3 home runs behind Bo Bichette this year. So there's that. No, I'm kidding. It's factually true, but you know, we shouldn't pile on Bo. But Will Wagner looks like he belongs in the one-game sample size we're discussing, right? I thought it was kind of funny that in the first AB, right, Daniel throws him a 91 four-seam fastball inside, kind of a little bit low, but inside in the strike zone. He goes and gets it with a 104.5-mile-an-hour exit velo for the double. And in the very next AB, they go changeup, changeup, curveball, four-seamer, changeup, the last of which Wagner hit for the RBI single. So we essentially immediately, in the span of a couple innings, saw the respect level creep up somewhat for Wagner in his second career AB. This guy's a rookie in his very first ever major league ball game, and you got to see the starter. Like, he must have been told, right? I can't imagine there's a lot of tape on him because he's being called up. I mean, obviously they have the tape from the minors, but you know, I think there's some expectations that adjustments will happen, but man, they gave him the ultimate respect, right? Changeup, curve, four-seamer, changeup. And he probably would have cashed in a second run. He went and got the changeup in his second career. I just think he probably would have cashed in another run if anyone but Andrew Kirk had been standing on first base. Having said that, great to see Kirk motoring. He goes first to third on the single. So I was actually impressed on that one. And then great hitting from him in the third career AB as well. A 3-1 changeup that Daniel leaves right down the middle. I think it was like 80 or 81 miles an hour. I got to say, it was actually pretty funny to see the Angels pull the reliever with Wagner coming to the plate in the seventh inning. Like, how often do we see that for a rookie? Like, how often do you see that for any rookie at any point, not just in their major league debut, but just at any point in their rookie season? And yeah, he flew out, but that was like the Aaron Judge, Juan Soto move they pulled there, even with two outs. So, hey, excellent stuff from Wagner tonight. And he even added some great defensive plays to boot. I actually wanted to play you guys a clip of our pal Blake Murphy chatting with Will Wagner actually last week. This is on Wednesday or so of last Wednesday or Thursday of last week on Jay's Talk Plus. And Blake, you'll hear him ask the question. They're talking about the position he likes to play. So let's hear it. A very brief clip of Blake chatting with the man of the night, Will Wagner.
Do you have a comfort level at one position over the other? I know you've played all 4 infield positions over the course of your minor league career so far. Is there one that, you know, you feel you're best at or most comfortable at?
Right now, I think I like second a lot, just because I played 4 years in college at second base. I didn't really play any other positions. And I just felt really comfortable at second lately.
So there you go. That's a very brief snippet of that conversation. You can find the whole thing on the Jay's Talk podcast feed from last week with Blake. But I thought it was interesting, right? He made some great plays. And tonight, a stab on the infield on, I think, a Taylor Ward grounder. So certainly looks like he's pretty comfortable at second base. And if you hadn't seen this, I think they did mention this on the telecast. And Eric mentioned this on radio as well. But Hazel tweeted during the game that Will Wagner is the 4th player in Blue Jays history to have 3 hits in his first major league game. Danny Ainge going 3-for-4 in his MLB debut, 1979. Pat Borders, 3-for-4 with a triple in 1988. G.B. Aaron Sebia, as we know, 4-for-5 with a double, 2 home runs in 2010. So rarefied air for Will Wagner tonight. Here's hoping he's in the lineup tomorrow, because it has often felt, I would say very often, as though a guy does well and then he sits the next day. But there's no way you can sit Wagner after a day like he just had. I would think we have seen stranger things, which is kind of itself strange to say this season for the Blue Jays, but I don't know. The Blue Jays had a lineup today that had Joey Loperfido, Will Wagner, Stuart Baroa, and Leo Jimenez in it. Not a lineup, not words I thought I would say at any point about the Blue Jays in 2024, and here we are. So Will Wagner, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he is going to be in the lineup tomorrow, but you know, maybe don't hold your breath. But he was phenomenal tonight. In all seriousness, he was so good. I can't wait to see more from him. On Leo Jimenez, great that he clubbed the home run. Seems like a genuinely nice guy. You want to see more from all of the young guns. Certainly, like, beyond rooting for their personal success, you also want to see, as we've discussed so often since the deadline, and frankly, so often we're going to discuss this topic until the end of the season, essentially, really until the beginning of next season, actually, until you actually see who breaks camp with the team. But you want to see where they fit on next year's team, right? And I think I do still, despite the home run, need to see more from Leo before I can say he has a spot even on the bench of next year's team. But I don't think that's quite the same as saying, as being able to admit that he is a major league ball player, right? Like, I think I've seen enough. When you add in the defensive work, he's a major league ball player. Even if he is the 25th or 26th man on the roster, he belongs. Now, again, does that like really track? Is that congruent with the idea that he will be on the Jays next year? I don't know if those are like, it's like an apples to apples comparison, especially if the Jays go shopping, right? If they go shopping in free agency with a lot of money in their wallet, that could push a lot of guys down the roster in terms of where they're playing. And you already have Ernie Clement, I think, likely on the bench of next year's squad. So if you're going to go into next year with Bo Clement as the likely shortstops, because Bo is probably going to be on the squad next year, because you got to give, like, there was a question, I think it was from Tango in Ottawa on the text line from one of the games against Oakland Saturday or Sunday. And, you know, his question was about Bo's trade value. And like right now, the value of Bo's like trade with other teams is essentially nil, right? It's essentially zero is where we're at right now. So I feel like you're not going to let him be traded in the offseason, because you need to recapture at least some of that value. And the only way to do that is by letting him play. So he's got to be on the team next year, at least to start the season. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case by the end of the season, but there's Bo, there's Clement. And if that's the case, is Leo going to play anywhere else consistently other than shortstop? Probably not. Like, I guess he could play at third, but I think you are looking for a relatively long-term solution at third base, even beyond Ernie Clement, right? So all that to say, I've actually been relatively impressed by Leo Jimenez since he got called up to the majors. And I do think ultimately I would give him a tryout between now and the end of next year, or beginning of next year. But, you know, the offseason, I think, will greatly depend on what goes on. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones before we go to the text line. 590-590, name and location. Let's go to Ryan in Innisfil. Ryan, what's up tonight?
Not much, man. How about you?
Oh, it's always nice. You know what? It's nice when we stay up late and they win and look good doing it, right? So I can't complain.
Amen to that. It's nice when you get an MLB debut out of Will Wagner. Sure. That was like what we saw today, man. And I basically just kind of want to talk about him a little bit. He's been absolutely raking in the minors, and I'm hoping that he can keep that consistency up at the major league level. But he is like a little bit older of a prospect. He's like, I think, 26 years old, and like the average age for a debut, I think, is 24. So he's a little bit older, kind of like Horowitz. You're kind of hoping that they can keep it going, keep it consistent. I'm kind of wondering, like, what would you do with Will Wagner this year? Like, are we going to ride him out, or are we going to pull, like, a classic sort of John Schneider, and he played too well today, so I'm going to bench him for 2 days type thing? Like, I kind of want to see this kid, like, 7 days straight, and I'm just wondering how much you would want to play him, if he can be, like, a 280 hitter, great second baseman, Horowitz can DH. Where do you think that puts us next year in the AL East?
Hey, man, I appreciate the call, Ryan. Thanks for joining me here on Jays Talk. I do think when it comes to Will Wagner, first of all, you got to play him. I mean, look, you got to play him as much as possible, right? I mean, if only because the rest of this season has all it's about, essentially, is going to be auditions, tryouts for the 2025 squad. And I do think it will be, like, if Will Wagner can only really play at second, maybe he can play some third base. I think he did talk about that with Blake a little bit in that conversation. I'm certain he's going to talk to the media tonight. Like, if there was ever a guy who deserves to get the media scrum in Los Angeles after Baden Francis, it's probably Will Wagner. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I have no idea who's talking, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say he's probably speaking to the media tonight, maybe even right now. But I am curious to see what positions he settles at, just because, and again, like, it's too early to say that literally anyone on this team is going to be the starting third baseman of the team next season. But I do think his addition to the lineup is really interesting, because after Ernie Clement, who is, like, the slam dunk third base candidate to start, like, really any time next season? I guess Addison Barger. Like, I'm not even convinced Addison Barger is more than, like, a quad A player. He has played, to his credit, better since getting called back up the second time. But still, I mean, you need to see a lot more from him offensively. And certainly one game from Will Wagner is not enough to say, yeah, he's going to be the starting third baseman or starting second baseman next year. But, you know, if you can pencil in Vladdy at first base, Spencer Horwitz at second, I mean, if you see a little bit more from Will Wagner, I mean, I said this before, but I think I feel comfortable right now, unless something really dramatically changes for Horwitz, that Horwitz is probably, if he's not the outright starter at second base next season, he's probably, like, the strong side of a platoon, right? If it's like 70-30 in terms of percentage splits, or 75-25 or whatever it is, I think you feel okay about Spencer Horwitz being on the majority side of that split if he's not the outright starter every day. And the way that the Jays play, there probably isn't going to be an everyday starter at any one position. Even Vladdy technically does not start every single game at first base, because he DHs sometimes or plays third. So, but I mean, like, you know, he is, like, the de facto everyday first baseman for the Blue Jays. So I can see a situation where there's a de facto for second base situation for Spencer Horwitz. Maybe Will Wagner is the short side of that platoon. Maybe he does find a spot at third base. We'll have to see, honestly, where they try him out between now and the end of the season. But I'm kind of with you. I mean, I remember when Horwitz got called up. I only use him because he's, like, the obvious comparison, because a little bit of an older prospect. He's coming up. He hits well right away. Had a great averages in the minors, and obviously tonight continued that in the majors. So I think he's, like, the obvious comparison. Davis Schneider is, like, a kind of, like, a distant comparison, just because he is struggling right now, unfortunately. Obviously didn't play tonight. But when it comes to Spencer Horwitz, you know, he came up and kind of answered a lot of those questions. But I think we also said when he came up, the obvious answer to that was also simply he just has to play for the rest of the season. Like, there was no point in him playing for, like, 10 days or 14 days and getting sent back down to the minors. Like, what was the point? What was the point of even calling him up if you're going to do that, right? So I think the way they've treated Horwitz, and again, Wagner has to actually hit to get this treatment, but if you have got anything like Horwitz and what you've seen from him in his 2024 season, then yeah, I think you pretty much can make a judgment on Will Wagner to a certain extent between now and the end of the year. But I'll probably give it, like, I don't know, a couple weeks before I'm willing to make a solid judgment. But hey, I mean, hard not to be impressed by what you've seen from Will Wagner. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Kitchener. Jay in Kitchener. What's up, Jay? Welcome to Jay's Talk.
I just want to thank you for the wonderful job that you guys do broadcasting the games. But I've been a Blue Jay fan for over 40 years, and I really rely on all the stats after each game. So if you guys could do the best you can to give the numbers after each game, I'd really appreciate that. And I really want to commend number 7 for tonight, and I really wish him well for the future.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jay. Appreciate it. Yeah, Will Wagner was phenomenal, right? No doubt about it. He's been a lot of fun to watch. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's keep the phone calls coming this late. Let's go to Alan in Toronto. Alan, what's up?
Chad Green, I'm very impressed with him. He made his 38th appearance. Look at his stats. Fantastic. He's 1.86 ERA, 33 strikeouts, and a 0.85 whip. If Schneider is enchanted with Green, and I see no reason why he should be, then there should be no hurry to bring Romano back. What is the status of Romano? Have you heard? Is he just about fully recovered? And I don't like to see somebody taking an incumbent's job, a replacement. Usually you don't take an incumbent's job and fill him in full time, but in this case, it's an exception to the rule. I would just leave Green in there. New York Yankees' loss is Blue Jays' gain. I'm glad he overcame his surgery in May of 2002, and he was very impressive last year in the game against Minnesota. He pitched 1.13 innings last year too. So just leave him in there. You know, even if Romano is healthy, what is the status of Romano? Have you heard?
Yeah. So I think Alan on Friday, I think it was John Schneider had said to the media that it's going well for him. It was like progressing well, but I think he had also said that he hasn't even started throwing yet. So he's feeling good, but he hasn't started throwing essentially. So I mean, what do you think? I think that means, given the Jays' record, you're probably not going to see Jordan Romano pitch this year. But what do you think?
It's kind of a lost season.
Yeah.
But then again, you may want to come in late in the season and possibly have him pitch a few innings so he doesn't come cold next year. You know, get a little bit of a start. But Green, I'm very impressed with Green, the way he's pitched. Look at his stats.
Do you think Chad Green is a bona fide closer? You know what I mean? Like, I think there are a lot of closers in baseball, or there are a lot of relievers in baseball that are used as closers that are probably not bona fide closers. Like, I would say Emmanuel Clase probably is one. Maybe Jordan Romano, maybe sometimes he's used not in the way he should be. But I think, what do you think of Chad Green? I sometimes go back and forth on him.
Yeah, he's coming to a lot of tight situations in New York. I remember in October the 3rd, 2017, when he came in and he replaced Lewis, I forget his last name, but he replaced him in the first inning. And he was very impressive then, too. He struck out four batters of the five batters he faced, too, and got the Yankees off the launch pad, too. I remember he was very impressive then. And he's coming in a lot of tight situations over the years with the Yankees.
That's true. Hey, Alan, appreciate the call, man. It's very true. I think Chad Green has been someone who has largely been very reliable. I was happy the Blue Jays picked up the option on the contract there. He is getting paid a lot of money. This is true. And I got to imagine if we see another season this year, like we had this year, next year, then, I mean, much like we talked about Jimmy Garcia all season, again, I think Chad Green is going to be one of those candidates to get traded. But I think you're right. I mean, like I said, I believe there are a lot of relievers who get miscast as closers. And I think Jordan Romano, I don't think he has been miscast, but I do think there are some closers who you need to alleviate the pressure on. Just like you need to have someone else, a fireman, to help put out fires so you're not always deploying Jordan Romano for like four outs or asking him for two innings or whatever it is. I genuinely think he is very talented, but the duo of Jimmy Garcia and Jordan Romano, and I'm really only using Jimmy because he was on the team for these past couple of years and just got traded this season, but I loved the way they were able to deploy those two guys, right? Like, you could essentially, if you wanted to, bring in either of them to deal with the most potent pocket of batters, even if it was like in the seventh inning or the eighth inning, let's say, the eighth inning probably more likely, even though Jimmy Garcia had traditionally been used prior to this season as like a holds guy. You know, they were able to use him against like 2, 3, 4 in the lineup and then send Jordan Romano to shut things down in the ninth inning. Or honestly, you could do the other way around too. And now Jimmy Garcia is no longer a Blue Jay, but I kind of wonder if the Jays have that again with Chad Green and Jordan Romano. Now, again, much like Alan asked, I would expect the way the season has gone that barring some miraculous run, or seriously, if barring, you know, Jordan Romano coming out and saying, wow, I feel great, that they're probably not going to push Romano, mainly because, is it really worth it? You know what I mean? Like, is it really worth it for a guy who's been on the team for so long? He had such a snake-bitten season. I mean, he was on the IL to start the year and got the injections in the elbow, got shut down on June 1st. It was such a terrible season from him from an injury perspective. I'm not sure if there is really any impetus to rush him back. But hey, I mean, if he feels good, then, you know, maybe there's no harm in letting him try it out for a little bit. But he might be better just starting the very gradual throwing program in the minors and probably in Dunedin to a certain extent, and then with the Bisons, and then with the Blue Jays. But I don't know. With less than 2 months to go in the season, I'm not sure it's worth rushing him back. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's take a quick break, and afterwards we'll go to the text line, 590-590, name and location. Those are the numbers for you to call. Those are the numbers for you to text as well. And we'll talk a little bit about Bowden Francis. We haven't heard from Bowden Francis so far tonight. I want to talk a little bit about him because that has got to be the best start of his career. Honestly, that's the best he's looked in relief or as a starter, I think, in his relatively short major league career. Kudos to him. So we'll talk about Bowden Francis on the other side. Go to the phones. Go to the text line as well. You're listening to Jay's Talk with Shohei Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Wagner digs in, stares down at Daniel. The 3-1 pitch. He jumped on it and sent it into right field. Another base hit. A 3-for-3 night for Will Wagner. And he just keeps rolling here as the Blue Jays have uncovered a gem in Will Wagner.
This is absolutely absurd. The most impressive thing about that swing, it was a 3-1 changeup. A 3-1 changeup is so hard to hit. It's a fastball count. You're expecting a fastball. Will Wagner just sits back and drills it through the hole on the right side of that infield. 3-for-3 in his first major league game. That is absolutely absurd.
That is Eric Smith and Chris LaRue with the call of Will Wagner's third major league career hit in his third career major league AB. Welcome back to Jay's Talk here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Shohei Ali with you for another, 10, 15 minutes or so. Still some time to give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell, 590-590. Name and location is the people's text line. Standard data and messaging rates do apply when you text me, but certainly it is always open for your texting pleasure. Quick check of the text line, pardon me. No name on this one, so send me your name and location. Just give you a shout out. This one is funny, though. It's one game for Wagner? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Relax. That's the text on the text line. Look, I think it's okay to enjoy things. It's okay to get excited. I don't think anyone's saying, Billy Wagner, his dad? No, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. Will Wagner is going to the Hall. He's being sent to Cooperstown tomorrow. I don't think anyone's really saying that, but I just think it's a valid question to ask what the future could look like for Will Wagner. Now, I mean, I think it's way too early to even say he's going to be a starting member of the infield next season. But I mean, again, even if like the ceiling for Will Wagner is like a short side of a platoon, I think that's all. You've already kind of won that trade, no? Like with the Astros. You got Lo Perfido, who, granted, is not playing very well right now. I think he has, like, one hit in his last, like, 20 ABs or, like, far more than that, honestly. I got to look it up, but he has not played particularly well. Tons of strikeouts for him. Not a lot of hits, runs, anything. So you hope that gets picked up sometime soon. Jake Bloss, I don't think you're going to see Jake Bloss this season, but maybe he factors in at some point next year. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's okay to get excited in a season where things are not necessarily going your way. And, I mean, for a guy that joins the company of Danny Ainge, Pat Borders, and J.P. Arrancebia, all of whom had, you know, varying degrees of success in their Blue Jays career. Obviously, Pat Borders, a World Series MVP, is at the very top of that list, but J.P. Arrancebia had a nice major league career. Danny Ainge? Less so, I guess. Danny Ainge, less so. He played in Major League Baseball for like 3 years before deciding he wanted to go play basketball and win the Larry O.B. and play for the Celtics and be the Celtics Jazz general manager for the rest of time, right? So I think that's his career is like a little different, but ultimately, I mean, I don't think anyone's saying even the ceiling for Will Wagner is as high as Pat Borders necessarily, but I don't know. Three hits in his major league debut, something you got to talk about. Let's see. If Wagner is also on the text line, if Wagner does prove to have an MLB bat, does that mean Horwitz moves to first and Vladdy DHs? It's a good question. I do think it'll probably mean that Wagner just moves to a different position, is my guess, right? But I mean, that we're so far away from whether or not Will Wagner does have an MLB bat or not that I don't think you can really answer that question. But I have a feeling at least to start next year, it's going to be Horwitz at second, Vladdy at first, and they try Will Wagner out somewhere else. Or maybe he just ends up being a bench piece. Maybe he's just a guy who comes in to late inning pinch hit situations. And if that's what it is, then that's fine, right? I think you'd be more than happy with getting that that kind of player in a trade. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell, 590-590, name and location. Those are the numbers to call. The place you can text me, certainly as well. All right, let's chat a little bit about Bowden Francis. Bowden Francis was great tonight. And I think when it comes to your nominal fifth starter, if you can get 5 innings, I've said this before, 5 innings in which he lets up, let's say 4 runs or less, I think you take that and run. It's like that that IKEA commercial. You guys remember that, where the woman thinks like the prices are so good, and then she's like running to her husband. She's like, start the car, start the car. Like, you take that and run if you're getting 5 innings and 4 runs or less from your fifth starter. And if that guy is Bowden Francis, even more so. The last time out, okay, 5 innings of work from Francis, 2 earned runs, including a home run, 7 strikeouts to 1 walk, 81 pitches thrown. And then we come to tonight in Los Angeles, 7 innings, 1 hit, 1 run, which was earned. It was a home run. No walks, 8 strikeouts, 81 pitches thrown, 57 strikes. I don't think it's hyperbole to say this is the best Bowden Francis has maybe looked all season. Honestly, I don't think it's hyperbole. I said this before the break, to say that this is maybe the best Bowden Francis has looked in his whole career. We probably could have said it, actually, funnily enough, about his last start, which I just threw out the numbers for. And then tonight, not only does he go and complete 6 innings for the first time ever, but complete 7 innings for the first time ever in his career. Pitch-wise, I was very impressed. His four-seam fastball had some movement to it, right? He was locating it extremely well. He's really dotting the edges of the zone with the four-seamer. And again, it's not something we have seen a lot from Bowden Francis, but he was great. He got, an 83% strike rate on the four-seamer, 13% whiff rate. He had a 50% whiff rate on the curve. That's just one of two. He had a 50% whiff rate on the split, which was, again, 2 of 4. But again, he threw 24 fastballs that could have gotten whiffs. So I was very impressed. He used that mid-90s velo with the movement on it to keep batters off balance. He got some swing and miss with a slider. I think we actually saw a number of sinkers from Bowden Francis tonight as well, which we had not seen very often, if at all, actually in a game, right? Like, we've talked a little bit about the splitter, which he was working on in the spring, and like, he didn't throw it a ton, ultimately. Like, when you look at the overall pitch counts for all his non-four-seam pitches, he threw the splitter 13 times, the curve 10 times, sinker 10 times, the slider 8 times. So he was largely relying on the movement with the fastball tonight, certainly, as most pitchers do. It's not exactly a breaking news here, but I like that he was throwing those other pitches, the slider certainly, but the curve, the splitter, to try to essentially keep batters honest in knowing that he had that pitch, especially the splitter, in his repertoire. So just phenomenal stuff from Francis tonight. I was very impressed. I really do think it's the best he's ever looked. And yes, before we get there, because I too am fond of complaining about pitch counts and letting pitchers going further into games and so on, and just how things have changed in Major League Baseball these days. But yeah, Bowden Francis probably could have come back out after just 81 pitches through 7 innings. I mean, I get they probably could not have expected him to get through 7 innings with such incredible efficiency. And you got to also potentially think that they were essentially managing the pitch count of Bowden Francis, knowing that he had never pitched so deep into a game. So were they just being ultra cautious? Perhaps. I do think there's a text here on the text line from Tango in Ottawa. It says Zach Pop, who of course came in the eighth for Francis, got the clean inning to start, got a quick hook after walking a hitter. I guess Schneider didn't want to blow another save. They were very careful with Zach Pop. It's kind of funny to think that when you look at this team, certainly if you just put aside Cabrera and Chad Green, both of whom came into this ballgame, by the way, right? They're the only two guys who are members of the circle of trust, right? Like, they're pretty much the only guys. If Chad Green's like right in the middle, then Yenesis Cabrera is like just off to the side. And like, that's probably it, right? That's probably it at this point. But when you look at what the Blue Jays are doing with the bullpen, I mean, I bet if you had to ask them, like if you had to ask John Schneider, who's in the circle of trust, I bet you he'd put Zach Pop and Ryan Burr probably in there, right? I'm not saying they should. Eric Swanson probably as well. But I'm not saying for me that they're in there. But I do think the way they are used does demonstrate both where the bullpen's at these days, which we know is just not very good. It just needs a lot more reinforcements. But also how they're going to use these guys. Like, you don't want to burn. Like, the other day when Bassett was really struggling and they left him in there, they kind of had to, right? Because are you really going to try and burn one of your, again, I'm using air quotes here, but like one of your more trusted relievers in like Ryan Burr? in like the third or fourth inning? No, you're not, right? So it's a good thing, certainly, that Bowden Francis went deep into this game, because if there's anything we've learned about this Blue Jays team, it's that they are going to have to, meaning the starting pitchers, are going to have to walk this tightrope for the rest of the season, right? The bullpen is as depleted as it's ever going to be. And here's the other part of it. You can't throw Chad Green and Yenesis Cabrera in basically every game, right? Like, that's the unfortunate truth. If you could, you absolutely would if you knew you were going to get results from them every single time out. But the truth is, they're only human. Like, you can only throw the guys so many times in a short span. Now, if you look at the schedule, actually, there was a day off on August 5th. It's August 13th now. We're past midnight on the East Coast. But on August 5th, there was a day off. There's a day off on August 15th, which is Thursday, after the end of this series, before the Blue Jays head to Chicago. There's a day off on the 15th. There's not another day off until September 2nd, right, which is Labor Day. So essentially, in the month of August, from the 5th to the 1st of September, the Blue Jays essentially play 26 games in 26 days. And the reason, even with the day off in there, the reason for that is because there's a doubleheader against the Red Sox, if you recall, which we talked about a little bit a couple of Jays talks ago, where Danny Jansen's going to have that like really bizarre situation of like coming in and maybe being the first guy to play in for both teams in a single game or something. But there's that first doubleheader on the 26th of August, and that's going to be a five-game series, because that series is already a four-game series against the Red Sox at Fenway Park. So I only bring this up to say that the starting pitchers have already all season been asked to go as deep as humanly possible, because they just don't have the bandwidth to go to the bullpen. And when you do, you pretty much have to go to Yenesis Cabrera or to Chad Green. Otherwise, you're kind of screwed, right? So it was good to see them have the quick hook for Zach Pop, but I don't know, you're not going to be able to do that every single game. So that's something we're going to have to watch. Do we have the Leo Jimenez and Will Wagner? I think we do. Okay, let's hear from the two of the three men of the hour, Leo Jimenez and Will Wagner, chatting with Hazel May.
Let's congratulate Leo Jimenez for his first career home run. Listen, when you faced Davis Daniel in your first at-bat, you saw some four-seamers, you saw some sliders, you struck out swinging. What did you gather from that at-bat that may have helped you in that home run at-bat?
I mean, first of all, thank you. Like I said, the first at-bat was a little bit tough. You know, I didn't have an actual plan against him. So then second at bat, I was actually more focused. I talked to Donnie, I talked to some of the hitting coaches, like, hey, what adjust do you think you guys think I can do about it? And, you know, we talked about some stuff, you know, kind of see the ball up, and I got the ball up and got a great swing to the ball.
What has been your biggest adjustment, Leo, since you've been called up to now?
I'm going to say just be ready. Just be ready to play the game, be able to make plays, you know, swing the bat, get that confidence in the box. And I think that's just something that got to keep working, but that's something that's actually been helping me so far.
Congratulations. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you so much.
Will Wagner, my goodness, you make this game look so easy. Three hits and a fine defensive play. Will, you told me pregame when I asked you what was the biggest thing about your game that took you to the next level. You said your dad gave you some advice on approach. Give some more insight on what exactly he told you.
Before the game, he pretty much just told me to be present and have fun with everything. You know, it's just a baseball game, and you know, you just got to go out there and play like every game. It's just a game.
When you and I spoke before, you said you remember being in the backyard and your dad would like throw to you, but then he got real serious. He was casual and friendly at first. Then he started throwing you knuckleball and sliders and fastball. How do you think that time together helped you now?
I just think being around baseball all the time, always in the clubhouse, always around baseball, has just helped me mature a little bit quicker. And he's just helped me with so many parts of my game, and I can't thank him enough.
I want you to tell me what goes through your head when I tell you this before you go. Will Wagner is just the fourth player in Blue Jays franchise history to record three hits in his first major league game.
That's pretty cool. I'm kind of speechless. I didn't even know about that. That's cool, though.
Very cool. Congratulations. Very cool for you, Leo. Guys, the future looks awfully bright.
That is Hazel May chatting with first Leo Jimenez, second Will Wagner in the walk-off interview. Will Wagner actually just wrapping up his post-game media availability. Let's hear what the man of the evening had to say.
I was nervous on the on-deck circle, but once I was walking up to the plate, I just started gain a little bit more confidence, just go up there and just know I'm here for a reason, and I was just trying to be aggressive that about.
You see that ball kind of sail into right center field there, what's going through your mind?
when I touched first, I was like, dang, I got the first hit out of the way. I was really happy. I didn't know the double celebration, though, so I got teased on that a little bit.
What is the double celebration? It's like they're lifting their shirt or something? Is that what they're doing? It's kind of funny. They have a lot of celebrations for a lot of different things, but that is pretty funny. It was kind of like was it Stuart Baroa when he was in the outfield and he didn't know the celebration in the outfield with, I think it was Varsho and Kiermaier, and they jump in the circle and they kind of jump around. I think there was a time where a lot of these younger guys don't know the customs, but I don't know. That's kind of a fun, silly little thing from Will Wagner, who again, had looked really good tonight. We'll see what he looks like if he does play in the ball game in game 2 of 3 in this series. Let's go to the text line to wrap up before we go. 590-590, name and location. Sean in Campbell River, BC. Sean says, love these West Coast games. I'm sure you do, Sean, out there in BC. Also says, Francis looked great. Soft stuff was giving him strikes, complimenting the fastball. It's true. He used a lot of the off-speed, the breaking stuff for that, like kind of next to that fastball. And he threw a lot of fastballs tonight. I believe he threw 40 four-seam fastballs. And again, we gave you the numbers for the other pitches. 10 curves, 13 splitters, 10 sinkers, 8 sliders. But it kept the opposition honest. So again, are you going to get like 81 pitches over 7 innings and 1 run from Bowden Francis like for the rest of his career? Probably not, right? Few pitchers are rarely that efficient, if any. Even Billy Wagner wasn't that efficient. I mean, he was a reliever, but you know what I mean. But ultimately, I don't know, Francis, if you can get even like a third of that, or pardon me, 3/4 of that, I think you would take it. Congratulations to Wagner, Sean says as well. I like his short, compact looking swing. Let's see some other texts here before we go. Alex in the Junction, really good to see the Buffalo Boys getting their time. Does Wagner count as a Buffalo Boy yet? If not, I think he earned it and then some. I guess he kind of does, right? He played like a little bit for the Bisons, but I think I'd count it. Although maybe it does feel a little dishonest to count it for me, I guess, now that I think about it, because Schneider and Horwitz and Clement and all these guys kind of toiled away for the Bisons for so long. Although Will Wagner did toil away for the, I think, what are they called? The Sugarland Astros. So I don't know. If you play in the minors, at least, I think that probably counts a little bit. And Stephen Williams Lake, BC, says, can Wagner play short? Asking for a friend. I don't think so, but I will say I am looking forward to seeing more from him this week. Again, I'm not sure there's a long-term answer from Will Wagner unless he really, really keeps this going, but it has been fun to watch through one singular game. We'll see how much he plays in the next couple of weeks. But appreciate you all being with me on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Godric and Port Elgin, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at Crown.com, Canada's #1 rust protection. For Eric Smith, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Shohei Ali. That does it for us this evening. We're back after games 2 and 3 to wrap up the Angels series. Blair and Barker back on Thursday. Sleep fast, everyone. I'll talk to you later.